welcome to Speak a Dogcast. My name is David Farb, Animal Behavior Specialist, and I am broadcasting from WOUF Woof Studios in beautiful Palm City, Florida. Thank you so much for joining me again today. If you have not clicked that subscribe button, do so right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday, and you're going to want to check them out. You can also follow me on Instagram at Speak a Dogcast, and be sure you join me there every single Tuesday for Training Tip Tuesday, where I bring brand new training tips to you guys every single week. Yes, and if the visual thing, well, that's more your thing. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel at Speak a Dogcast. And if you like what you're seeing, click that thumbs up button. Yes. And if you want to support the show even further, you can become a patron of the show today. Patreon.com/Speak a Dogcast. Apple Podcast and Spotify users, don't forget, guys, if you love the show, if you love what you're hearing, click that 5-star rating. Give me a great review. I would appreciate it. Now, before we get going with today's show, I'm actually going to talk about something just slightly more serious. You know, there's something that came up locally in our area. A subject relevant to dogs and the podcast, and it's a little serious. It's not exactly the happiest of subjects, but I think it's something we got to talk about real quick. Whew. Okay, so look, in a nutshell, there's a boarding, training, and grooming facility that is around the corner from me. It's very close by. I don't really know of them, honestly. I don't know the lady. I've never met her. Don't know of her. Supposedly, she's been training dogs for about 20-something years. And recently, the Martin County Sheriff's Office has done an investigation into her because there have been 5 dog deaths linked to this woman and this facility. People's pets, guys. These are people's pets. This woman isn't a breeder. She's taking in people's dogs. 5 dogs since 2014 so far have been, the deaths have been linked to her facility. On top of that, a 6th dog, just a dog owner came forward saying in 2018 that her dog's trachea had been damaged at the facility, and the dog literally can't wear a collar anymore due to damage. It was a doodle. It was a golden doodle. We're not even talking a big dog or any. I mean, just look, first and foremost, guys, I'm just going to say this, and this isn't like I'm like tooting my own horn, but yeah, at the same time, I think I am. And at the same time, it's not that hard to toot your own horn if you love and care about dogs. As a professional, I have never had a dog be harmed like that, anything even close to that in my care. We have had one incident in 15 years where we had a dog, a tiny tiff between 2 dogs. Truthfully, the dog that got bit was the one at fault. Tiny puncture wound to the ear, we dealt with it, and that was it. That's the only incident in all my years, and I can't even begin to tell you how many dogs have come through my homes over the years. In and out, boot camps, severe anxiety, aggression issues, doggy day camp dogs, boarding dogs, everything. And I've never had a dog die in my care. I can't even comprehend. It's hard for me to even say that. And this woman now has 5 dogs. 5 dog deaths attached to her name in her facility. Now look, guys, innocent until proven guilty. Sure, let them finish their investigation. It's disgusting to me that people like her give our profession and can give our industry and profession a bad name. And the crazy thing is look, I'm telling you all this as a full-blown honesty. You all need to be aware of this. You need to know this. Dog training facilities, dog boarding facilities, dog grooming facilities have 0 regulation. There's nobody inspecting these facilities. There's nobody ensuring they are clean. There's nobody ensuring that they are taking the best care of these dogs. There's nobody. It's just full-blown honesty, guys. This is the way it works. There's no regulation. There's no federal, state. There's no regulation. And so for someone like her, she could, if she did this, then it's easier for her to get away with crap like that, isn't it? So it is up to you as the dog owner. It is your job to investigate. It is your job to go into these places and make sure your dog's going to be safe. I know it sucks, but you've got to be your dog's best advocate, and that's all you can do. And that's the crazy thing is you read some of the reviews, and some of them are glowing reviews, and the other ones are like, yeah, she killed my dog. I mean, I can't even comprehend coming home from my vacation and finding that out. Like, I don't have the words. Like, I have some words I could think of, but I don't want to say them right now because that would be a lot of bleeping. So look, guys, again, this is more a cautionary tale is the reason I wanted to talk about this right now. Please do your research. Please know the signs of a facility that's not so good. Red flag number 1, if they don't want to show you the facility, if they don't want to let you see where your dog is staying, big red flag. red flag number two, to me would be that no one at the facility has any experience with training. I don't mean to insult some people, but like there was a facility in the area years ago. They're closed now, but doesn't matter. And it was a big standalone dog boarding facility, not training, but this facility would take in over 100 dogs during the holidays with teenagers essentially watching them. Nobody, not even the owner of the facility, had any experience with dog training, dog behavior, or dog psychology, or any understanding of how that works. And they definitely had incidents. I know firsthand of a few. A lot of incidents. Because why? There's no expert there. So to me, that is a big red flag. If you know nothing, that's a problem. You need to know something, right? Something. Okay. And the third red flag is your gut. Trust your gut, guys. I had a client a few years ago who had signed up for a boot camp program with a different trainer before she met me. She'd signed up with them. She went to drop the dog off, her and her son or daughter. I don't remember who it was. But make a long story longer, they got there and they didn't like the feeling they were getting. They said the house just wasn't, I don't remember the wording they used, but their gut told them to not leave their dog there. And they didn't. And they said, you know what? We changed our minds. And when they went to leave, the owner got very angry at them and defensive. And boy, there's a red flag right there. And then they ended up finding me through a referral of their friend, and they ended up becoming a longtime client of mine. Look, it's tough. I know it's tough to know who, it's tough to really know who's caring for your dog. And I get that. And that's why, look, at me personally, I prefer friends and family to watch my animals. That's just my personal preference. But if you can't, please do your due diligence. Please, please, please walk into these facilities. Please check them out. Do your research on the people watching and loving and caring for your family, pets that are part of your family. It's tough. It's tough, guys. You know, it's a tough thing to talk about, but hopefully everything wraps up with this investigation in a way that brings the dog owners peace, and hopefully this person will never train dogs again. Let's move on. So on today's show, your dog needs a job. Yes, your dog needs to be fulfilled, needs stimulation. We're going to talk about how to give your dog a job without having to make it your job to give your dog a job, okay? All about balance. Then we have, can you walk your dog off leash? I'll give you the answer to that in the segment. Then we have the History of Animal Mascots 101, followed by the Listener Q&A. If you have any questions for the Listener Q&A, you can send them on over my way. You can email me, questions@speakadogcast.com, or feel free to message me on social media. Your question could get featured on the show. Now, before we get going with today's show, I'm going to give you that trivia question. Today's question is going to be, do alligators live in freshwater, saltwater, or both? Yes, do alligators live in freshwater, saltwater, or both? I will give you the answer to that question somewhere in today's podcast, so be sure you stick around. Sit, stay, and enjoy the show. Next on Speak a Dogcast, your dog needs a job. It's true, guys. It's true. I don't care what your dog is. You know, I don't care the breed, the size, anything. Your dog needs a job because really, every animal needs a job. If we kind of just think about it from an instinctual nature type perspective, every animal on this planet has a job, right? We all fill a certain niche, a certain thing that an animal does that may, you know, maybe that animal, their purpose of their life is to be prey for another animal, which isn't that kind of how the cycle of life works. And so therefore, whatever that animal does to survive, to live, to forage, to, you know, some animals spread seeds around the planet and help nourish, you know, there's all these little intricate things that every animal, there is a purpose for why they exist, how they exist, and what they do. And without that purpose, what do we get? Now, look, we're not going to dive into zoos a whole lot today, but it's a good example. Personally, I am pro-zoo if it's done correctly. Let's just, you know, say that right now. But here's the thing with an animal in captivity. This isn't like just a zoo. This is animals in captivity in general, including your dogs to some degree. Now, dogs are domesticated. I'm talking about wild animals in a zoo. But when we have a wild animal in a zoo and we remove them from Mother Nature, we remove them from the wild, and we throw them in a cage, and guys, let's be real, we've seen, you know, we've seen pictures, videos, whatever, maybe in real life where you see animals that just don't look stimulated, don't look happy. And the reason being, they don't have a job. We take away an animal's job when we put them into captivity. And here's the thing, this is why I'm pro-zoo, giving them a job in captivity can be done. It can be done, it can be done correctly, and it can be done in a way that not only the animal feels fulfilled, but the animal thrives. Okay, so not to, you know, just to kind of lay out that argument for a different day, but at least how it is, animals in captivity can be done correctly, right? Okay, let's just, that's that. Now, with that said, I can take that information and go, well, geez, if I've seen animals in captivity thriving, and we just go to the zoo, say, hey, what are you guys doing to make these animals so happy? I know what they're going to tell you. They're going to say, well, this animal here is a foraging type animal. They go into the wild and forage for food. So we recreate foraging within this captive environment for them. Oh, cool. Okay, cool. So they get fulfilled. They have a job. Awesome. Okay. Well, it's the same thing for every animal. I've got a bird. We have a hawk, for example. Well, how does a hawk go get its... It flies. It hunts. So let's recreate those scenarios and teach the hawk to fly, to hunt for its food, even if the food is dead. You can recreate these scenarios and give them a job. Animals respond to work wonderfully. They do. Animals want to work. It is literally written into their DNA code that we're supposed to work. And hi, I'm David. I'm a human being. I'm an animal. Hi, you're whoever you are. You're a human being. You're an animal. We are the same way. We look for purpose in life. We strive for purpose, whether that be personal or professional. And that's the difference between something like a human being and any other animal on this planet for the most part. We can be fulfilled off of personal, internal things. We can find fulfillment through our own happiness, and that's not necessarily like a hawk. They're not finding happiness, right? They're finding a mouse in survival. That's their job. Human beings can become fulfilled in other ways. At the same time, we need a purpose. We need something to do. So you see where I'm getting? When we take something like a domesticated dog and we throw them in our house and they spend 8 hours a day alone doing nothing, sitting on their butt. Oh, but David, they've got a full bowl of food. They've got a couch to lie on, comfy beds. Why wouldn't my dog be? He sleeps all day. He's so happy. No, your dog is depressed. There it is. What happens to wild exotic animals in captivity that aren't given a job? They look depressed. And unfortunately, in the human world, we look at dogs that are just couch potatoes and we go, oh, they're so fat and happy. And it's like, no, actually, that dog is fat and depressed. Your interpretation of what you think is happening because your little human heart is going, oh, look at him. He's acting like a little human. And it's what I would want to do all day is just lie around and that would give me fulfillment. No, it wouldn't. You're lying to yourself if you think that's the case. And coronavirus was the perfect example of why human beings cannot be kept in their homes, doing nothing all the time. We'll go nuts. We're not designed to do that, and neither are dogs. Okay? I'm sorry. This is the truth. Your dog needs a job. David, I don't want to make my dog work. He was in a shelter. Yeah, guys, I got news for you. Your dog wasn't happy sitting around a shelter. He looks happy sitting around the home, but he's 20 pounds overweight. He's got health issues. He can't go chase a ball even. No, your dog needs a job, okay? So that's the obvious side of it. Dogs just lying around. What about dogs that are in shape but are possessive, are yappy, are bark at everything, are destructive, or all these other displacements? That's the thing. That depressed state in a dog can manifest itself in different ways, in different frustrations, different displacements that come out, and we don't interpret it as, boy, that dog's kind of depressed. Like, that dog looks miserable. Instead, we go, oh, he's a shredder. He does that. He rips up my house. Like, we chalk it up to that's a dog being a dog, when in fact, it is the opposite of a dog being a dog. Guys, dogs are not supposed to naturally be overly destructive. Destructive is one thing. Chewing a stick, shredding a toy here and there, that's one thing, right? That's natural dog behaviors. And again, depending upon your breed, is going to depend upon how much your dog is a chewer, most likely. At the same time, if you don't stimulate your dog, this is when we get these overly destructive, obsessive almost behaviors. And the reason why is your dog is bored. So, how do we give our dogs a job? Okay. Look, I'm not saying you need to be going and running trials with your dog. You know, you don't need to be doing Rally-O. You don't need to be doing agility every weekend. You don't have to take your dog and do scent work necessarily. You don't have to be going to all these dog herding trials and doing herding competitions. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. Now, look, if you want to do those things with your dog, more power to you. Your dog's going to be happy and stimulated, but we don't have to do these things. It's just like in a zoo setting, they don't have to recreate the exact scenario for these animals to fulfill. You don't. We can give them artificial tasks, and it's the same thing with your dog. This is why I push the walk so much, guys. I mean, yes, it's look, obviously it's instinctual, it's natural, it's their most basic way to fulfill themselves. So why wouldn't you walk your dog? I don't know. That's why I go back to the walk every time, because it's the most basic way to give your dog a job. And the cool thing about a walk is it doesn't matter if you have a Chihuahua all the way up through a German Shepherd or you know, any kind of working dog. We can provide the exact same kind of walk for every dog, every breed, doesn't matter. It's all the same, and it's going to give us the same results. The only thing that's going to change is maybe the intensity of the walk, how fast we're going, and the length of the walk. That's going to vary dog to dog, breed to breed. But you see the point here. If we give our dogs a basic instinctual, a Chihuahua all the way up through a German Shepherd, they all can get the same fulfillment out of such a simplistic exercise, such a simplistic way to mimic the natural pack walk. It's not even mimicking. It's literally what you're doing. That's the cool thing about walking your dogs. It's not even an artificial task. It's legitimately what they want and what they need. So if you want to fulfill your dog, the first way we can give our dog a job, the very first easiest way, is that walk. You must be doing the walk properly. You must be doing the walk correctly. If you're unsure about that, guys, lots of segments. Go check it out. Great information on my Instagram. We're getting more and more videos up there. So go check out, go subscribe to my Instagram page. Every Tuesday, Training Tip Tuesday as well. We talk about leash work, collar work, treats, walks, all different kinds of stuff. So be sure you subscribe. And the YouTube channel, we're going to be getting more and more going up there as well. So subscribe to my YouTube channel. Speak a Dogcast, of course, all the episodes, guys. You can catch all the podcast episodes up there. We're getting caught up. And awesome info. So if you're unsure about that walk, there are so many great ways to fix that. Okay. All right. So look, the walk is the easiest, most basic way to give your dog a job. I mean, it does not get any easier than that. But here's one that's also pretty easy, but it's not something we're going to set aside an hour for. It's not like a walk where I need 30 minutes to go walk my dog, an hour to go walk my dog. This is pretty simple in the sense that the concept of it is basic, but it's a kind of a constant thing. And what I'm talking about is, your leadership position with your dog. You want to give your dog a job, teach them to not be the leader. Okay? Dogs are going to thrive better in a pack of humans. They're going to thrive. They're going to thrive, and they're not going to thrive if you do it the other way. They're going to thrive if you act as the leader of them and the pack is below you. Your dog is below you. I know people, I don't want my dog to be below me. Yes, you do. I'm sorry, guys. If I had children, my 6-year-old is not going to be on the same level as me. I'm not going to be feeding them alcohol. I'm not going to be having them watch rated R movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, people go, oh, I don't want to treat my child. No, you should. You should be treating your child like a child. You know why they're a child? Sorry. Excuse me. Dogs, same thing. You should be treating your dog like a dog. You know why? They're dogs. Crazy concept. I know. Very weird. So if you want to give your dog a really easy job, let them be your subordinate. You need to be the leader. Does that mean be mean? No. Does that mean yell and scream at them? No. Does that mean harsh corrections? No. It means structure. It means rules. It means boundaries. Yes, it means corrections. Abso-freaking-lutely. But nothing harsh, nothing crazy, guys. We don't have to go off the deep end here, okay? But structure, rules, boundaries. One of the best ways to give your dog a job is to teach them to, what are we really doing? Teaching them to listen. I talk about it over and over. Feeding time. You need to be making your dog sit and stay and wait for their food. Boom, you just gave them a task to do. Job. When we're leashing them up, they need to be calm and relaxed. We just talked about this a little bit last week on Training Tip Tuesday on my Instagram. Go check it out. Your dog should be in a calm state of mind before we leash them up. Sit, stay. You just gave them a task to do. Before we walk out the door, we teach our dogs not to bolt out the door. Task. When I open my car doors, my dogs are not allowed to just jump right in. They need to wait. They have to wait for permission, me to release them. Task. All these little artificial tasks I can provide my dog throughout the day. This is what I'm talking about. You have to be consistent with it, and it's something that you're going to do little by little throughout the day. It's not something we're setting aside time for. That's the point. It's so easy to do this. You can just incorporate it into your normal day with your dog, and you'd be surprised. You'll be surprised. Your dog will be more fulfilled. Your dog will be calmer. Your dog will listen better. Why? You're giving them a job. You're giving your dog something to do. You know, I've given the example so many times. And again, coronavirus was the perfect, there it is. If I offered you $10 million a year to sit on your couch and do nothing, but that's just it. You're doing nothing. You're not allowed to go out with your friends at night. You're not allowed to go do anything. Only occasionally when I leash you up and take you somewhere, do you get to do anything. And then you're tethered to my side and you don't get to go anywhere else. For $10 million a year, you could not do it. I don't care if you think you could. You can't sit. No video games, guys. You can't sit and play video games on the couch. You can watch TV. I'll give you that one. Okay, I'll give you that one because the TV's on all the time for your dog. Not that they're watching. They're dogs, guys. Let's get real. But you understand the point here. For $10 million a year, you could not sit on your butt and do absolutely jack crap day in, day out, year after year. We are not wired that way, and your dog isn't either. So stop treating them like they are. Give your dog a job. Give them something to do. Come on. It's not that hard, guys. Side note, I don't really understand why people go out and get dogs, expect them to be perfect, and then don't understand why they're not when they haven't done anything to create that perfection. First of all, there's no such thing as a perfect dog. No such thing. They're an animal, they're a creature, and at the end of the day, if they decide they don't want to listen to you, they're going to decide that. I mean, that's the way training works, whether you like it or not. The sooner you accept that, the more well-trained your dog will be. The sooner I realized, working with exotic animals is what really showed me this, especially like a bird, because when it really comes down to it, if that bird wants to fly that way, even though you need them to come to you, guess what? They're going to fly that way if they really want to do it. And that taught me, just that taught me so much about working with animals. Because at the end of the day, you don't really have 100% control, and you never, ever will. The sooner you realize that and accept that, the better off you'll be. Side note. All right. So, but again, guys, tasks, job, artificial tasks. Just like exotic animals in a zoo, the only way to give them fulfillment and make them happy is to provide the tasks that they normally would have in nature that they don't have in captivity. It is our job as the humans, it's our job as the owner to understand that, to understand what a dog is at their core, understand how to provide for them, and give them a job so they can feel fulfilled and happy to the maximum. Right? Isn't that what we all want? All right. So guys, get out there, give your dogs a job, give them something to do. And I promise you're going to see better results in your training and a happier dog. Are you tired of your dog barking all the time? Or maybe you want them to stop jumping on people when they come over? Or does your dog take you for a walk instead of the other way around? Well, we can help. At The Nature of Training and Speak a Dogcast, we are committed to improving the relationships and lives people have with their pets. No matter what behavioral issue you are experiencing, from an unruly puppy to more severe issues, we can help. Our virtual training programs are catered to you and your pet and create a training plan that gets results. For more information, you can check out our website at www.thenatureoftraining.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Speak a Dogcast. With the ability to connect, teach, and train with pet owners around the world, together we can make a better home for our furry friends. The Nature of Training and Speak a Dogcast, helping you achieve success with your pet. Next on Speak a Dogcast, can you walk your dog off leash? The answer is, it depends, okay? Like, straight up, that is the answer. It depends. It depends upon quite a few factors, honestly, if you can walk your dog off leash. First and foremost, let's just get it out of the way. Actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's do first and foremost here. I'm not going to lie. There's going to be a little bit of venting today. I'm going to have a little bit of soapbox time. I can't help it. This is probably quickly becoming my biggest pet peeve in dog training and with dog owners, is this off-leash stuff. It's really getting to me. So I'm just gonna preface this this segment with the fact that, yeah, I might be a little ticked off and I'm going to try to, you know, keep it together here, but here we go. So, okay, first things first, guys, can you walk your dog off leash? The first thing that it depends upon is the law. That supersedes everything else, right? Doesn't really matter what your feelings are, how well trained your dog is, how nice your dog is. Completely irrelevant. Completely 100% does not matter. What matters first and foremost is the law. Now, I cannot tell you every law for every state, city, town, municipality, county. I mean, seriously, it can get really intricate and crazy. A state law could be one thing, but a city leash law might be completely different within that state. So, you know, I can't pretend that I can know every single leash law in this entire country, and it's just not happening. So the first thing I need you guys to do is be responsible dog owners. Please pull out this amazing technology you have sitting in front of you, utilize it, and Google what your local leash laws are. This is very important, guys, because again, I don't really care how good your dog is off leash. If you're not allowed to walk them off leash in public, that's it. That's the end of it. There's no more argument. And so here in the state of Florida where I live, I love it personally because people are becoming so irresponsible with their dogs. I love that there is a leash law in my state. Statewide, does not matter where you live in the state of Florida, this law applies to you without a doubt. And that law says that when you are in a public space, you must have your dog contained on a 6-foot leash, period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Are you out walking your dog in a public state park? Leash. Are you out walking your dog in a county park? Leash. Are you walking your dog downtown in your neighborhood? Leash. Are you walking your dog downtown in your neighborhood? Did that make sense? No, I don't think that did, but you get what I'm saying. Are you walking your dog downtown? Leash. Are you on a hiking trail? Leash. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is not up for debate. This is not your opinion. This is not anything. In the state of Florida, it's cut and dry. It's black and white. Transplants. I'm talking to you guys. I'm talking to all of you people moving to my area, acting like you own my state, and I'm getting really tired of it. I'm actually starting to ask people, hey, are you from here? No. Okay, well, you might want to know that there are leash laws in the state, and your uncontrolled, untrained dog that's barreling down on me when you're 150 feet behind it, 150 yards behind it, it's illegal, and you can get a ticket for it. All right, there, I'm ranting. See, I told you it was going to come out. Because, guys, I've had enough of it. I mean, I think I average 7-8 off-leash, uncontrolled dogs now every time I go out into public. And I'm talking parks. Mostly parks, right? It happens in other places, too. But we're talking parks with trails or sidewalks that go around the whole park. And these people are just letting their dogs run free, do whatever the hell they want. There is no dog park at this place, okay? And so, yeah, you can hear it in my voice. You can hear it in my attitude. I know. Because I'm sorry, I'm trying to go for a nice stroll with my dogs. You know what I mean? I'm trying to go for a hike with my pups, go for a walk, relax, turn off, and I can't. I have to constantly be aware, watching my surroundings, ready for a dog to barrel down on us because it happens pretty much every time. That's so disappointing to me. And again, you know, here's the thing. We talked about the law. That's where I'm going on this. The laws state one thing in the state of Florida. Let's put the laws aside. Let's not, because we can't. But I'm saying in theory, let's not look at that side of it, and let's look at the other side of it. 100% honesty, guys. This is me being honest. As a professional, as a personal dog owner, I would have zero issues with people walking their dogs off leash. Zero. I would have zero issues if people trained their dogs. I would have no problem with people walking their dogs off leash if they actually trained them. I know, what a weird concept, wanting to train our dog so our dog isn't a nuisance to other people. What a weird, crazy, old school way of thinking. I know, I'm so sorry that I'm not progressive enough to think that my feelings are more important than everybody else's. My dogs are more important than everybody else's. No, that's not how it works. That's why I train my dogs. It's not just for my benefit and their benefit. It's for everybody around me. I don't want my dogs, personally, this is a personal thing. This isn't just professional. I don't want my dogs to affect other people in a way that's not good for them. For example, let's say I'm in a park and I'm walking down a hiking trail and I have my dog 100 feet out in front of me. And my dog takes a corner because we're in a hiking trail. They take a corner, they go out of sight for a minute. And around that corner is a person who is deathly afraid of dogs. Could you imagine you're actually legitimately, like, let's say you've been really bit bad or something. You know, you had a really bad experience and you're just out on a nice hike, minding your own freaking business. And around the corner comes this dog with no owner in sight. Friendly or not, that dog being friendly or not is irrelevant to that person in that moment. And that's so unfair that an owner would be so selfish. Well, my dog needs to sniff. Okay, can you please be near your dog then? Like, I don't know. What happens when I have dogs that have issues? They don't like getting a dog up in their face, which is what started to happen to me last week at a public park when I took my dogs for a walk. I said, sir, can you please leash up your dog? Well, are your dogs friendly? My response was, sir, that's irrelevant because there are leash laws. So your dog should be on a leash. So it really shouldn't matter if my dogs are friendly, because that's the incredible thing about leashes, guys. This is the amazing thing about leashes. What is a leash? It's a form of restraint. This is incredible. You ready for this? If we have two aggressive dogs and we have leashes on, we can still walk by each other and nobody gets hurt. What? David, you blew my mind. Okay. You see the thing here, guys, is a simple piece of cloth solves all of these problems by just leashing up your dog. Now, I'm going to dispel a common myth here. Everyone thinks they need to let their dog be off leash in order for their dog to smell, to scent, to take in scent, right? Stimulation. I want to let my dog roam. I'm here to dispel this absolute BS rumor that a dog has to be off leash in order to take in scent. And the reason we think this is because we're arrogant human beings that can't step out of our own selves and go, wow, dogs are wired differently than we are. They are biologically, physically, mentally, completely different from a human being. You ready for it? Guys, we have about 4 million, and I'm not going to get the exact number right, about 4 million receptor cells. 4 million receptor cells inside our nose. That is how we smell the world, with about 4 million receptors. So I could argue the more receptors that we have in our nose, the better we can smell. You ready for how many dogs have? Roughly anywhere between, rough, get it, between 223 to 224 million receptor cells. So you're going to tell me my 6-foot leash is inhibiting the dog from taking in the smellscape of the world with that many receptor cells in their nose? Oh, that's right. The extra 100 feet of no leash, that's going to make all the difference, isn't it? That's going to change the walk completely. You see how ridiculous that sounds when you say it that way? Your dog does not need to be off leash to truly take in scent, guys. Like, it sounds ridiculous when you say it like that. And if anything, it will change your walk. It will. It'll make your walk worse, more uncontrolled. It's one thing if you've already taught your dog to be controlled on a walk, right? You've taught them very good leash work and they know how to focus and know how to stay with you. They know a recall. They know how to... That's one thing. And then I pop the leash off and let them have a little bit of freedom. That's one thing, because they're not they're not losing it into this. You know, they're still on a walk with you. They're not doing their own thing. It's a big difference. But these people just come out and pop. The dog's already 6 feet in front of them. They pop the leash off. The dog takes off. Human is chopped liver to them. That's not a walk. And again, it's your dog can take in the smells. Oh, goodness. Okay, David, come on, calm down now. No, it's, guys, it's bugging me, beyond bugging me. It's getting under my skin. I wouldn't care if people walked their dogs off leash if they were well-behaved, but they're not. They're not well-behaved. They don't know a recall. They don't listen. And it's like, I'm supposed to be inconvenienced because you suck at dog training. Huh? How in the world is that fair to anybody, guys? If you suck at dog training, I don't know, crazy thought, work at it, get better at it, work with your dog. Don't inconvenience people because you suck at training your dog, because you're not giving your dog enough exercise and you feel guilty. So you feel like you need to pop off the leash and give them freedom, when in reality, they need more structure, rules, and boundaries. And that's what's going to stimulate your dog. Oh, geez. Goes back to the first segment today. Your dog needs a job, guys, not a free-for-all. And that's what you're doing with a dog off leash. You're creating, it's not that you can't walk your dogs off leash. It's that most people don't take the steps, the training, the time, the consistency to do it properly. That's more what it is. look, I admit it. I've walked my dog. I don't do it here. No, I don't do it out in public. But like in my neighborhood back home, I'll admit it, many years ago, I walked all my dogs off leash. And I had zero issues with them. Why? Because we worked on leash first. Guys, I could take my dogs to these parks and walk them off leash. I could. I don't, because I know. You know, the difference was when I did it in my neighborhood, my neighbors knew me. I knew my neighbors. I knew which dogs were going to be uncontrolled, which ones weren't. People understood my dogs were controlled. Like, again, they knew the situation. They weren't just coming across some strange dog in the woods on a hiking trail. Those are two completely different things. You see what I'm saying? Like, logic, reason, I don't know. Maybe we should try using it more. Common sense. I mean, hell, I actually did have police drive by me in Orlando when I used to walk the dogs a little bit outside the neighborhood. It was this one little sidewalk outside our neighborhood. There wasn't any other really homes on it. So again, I knew my situation. I know my dogs. I know my training. I used to be able to walk like 10 or 15 dogs. I got my client dogs walking off leash. Now look, with that said, I am a huge advocate for teaching off-leash training, but I cannot advocate walking your dog off leash in the state of Florida. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the law says you can't. Now, I do believe you should practice it. There are ways you can practice off leash training in a safe, contained environment without having to break the law, right? Because, you know, your dog does need to know what to do if the leash disappears. I mean, that's a recall too, right? Like, that's getting your dog to come back to you without a leash. It's the same kind of concept. If you aren't spending time on quote unquote off leash work, you're doing your dog a disservice. And there is going to be a situation where your dog gets free and they're not going to know what to do because you haven't worked on it. So throwing it out there. Yeah, I do. I want you guys to work on off-leash training, but it depends to what degree you can do that out in public on where you live. And more importantly, if your dog is trained. Like, whew. All right, man, I have ranted enough today. I'm sorry. Like, I know I went off there. But like I said, guys, this is really... When I can't even take my own dogs for a walk in a park that's 15 minutes from my house, that's beautiful, has miles of hiking trails, when I can't even do that comfortably anymore, that's really sad. Like, I think that's a sad state of dog ownership in this country. And again, guys, I'm reaching out to you two people moving to Florida. It's a wonderful state. You should stop moving here. And remember, when you're moving here, we want to keep it a wonderful state. I love living here. I really do. I don't know why people talk so much crap about it. I love where I live. Always have. Sure, Orlando's not the place it used to be anymore, and there's a reason we moved. But that's not all of Florida. You know what I mean? Like, people think Orlando's Florida, Miami's Florida. It's like, guys, it's a big state. But if you're going to be moving here, if you're going to be living here, if you are living here and you're new, there are leash laws in this state. Please respect them. Please obey them. If you don't, you might end up with a ticket. And if you continue to, the lovely thing, if you continue to abuse these laws, there are consequences. You will go to, they'll take you to court. You'll have to go before a judge, explain why your dog is not being restrained. And they could take your dog away from you. And I know, extreme cases, but it is the truth. If your dog is not being contained in the state of Florida and you are a repeat offender, they have the right to take your dog from you. Because why? Well, you're being unsafe with your dog, right? Like, I love that. People are like, oh, I let my dog run in the neighborhood. I'm like, why? Your dog's going to get hit by a car. Like, why the hell would you do that? It's one thing if you live out in the country in the middle of nowhere. You've got acres and acres of land. It's another thing when you live in suburbia and cars going by and, well, he's a dog. You got to give him freedom. No. Great. You're going to give him freedom to the point that he's going to get hit by a car. Like, come on, guys. All right. I'm done ranting. I'll stop. Can you walk your dog off leash? Yes and no. First, you got to take laws into consideration. Second, take your training into consideration. Full-blown honesty, guys, if your dog is not trained, you have no business walking them off leash, laws or no laws. That's what it is. So work on off-leash training, work on your recall, and work your way up to safely law-abiding ways of walking your dog off leash. Next on Speaking Dogcast, it's the history of animal mascots 101. Today, we'll be talking about North Carolina State University. Now, North Carolina State, also known as NC State, they were founded on March 7th, 1887, and it has grown to become the largest university in the Carolinas. Now, the school is known today as the Wolfpack, but like many other schools, they went through different mascot iterations to find just the right one. The earliest association with the mascot was references to the school's agricultural history, being called the Aggies, the Farmers, and the Techs. But many schools around the country had similar names, so often, in fact, that there would even be football games where the Aggies were playing the Aggies. It could get a little confusing. Now, the idea of a wolf pack did not come about until 1921, when an anonymous alumni sent an unsigned letter to the Alumni News suggesting that the name officially be adopted for the football team. Now, in 1946, then-Chancellor J.W. Harrelson, he asked the students to suggest a different name, as he did not like the Wolfpack name because of the association to World War II German U-boat formations. The students, however, overwhelmingly voted to keep the name. They liked it. But the mascot was only representing the football team at this time, so the following year, the school officially brought all of the sports teams into the Wolfpack. Now, a live wolf was used at the football games during the 1947 season, and then they brought a costume mascot in the 60s. And in 1975, they added a Mrs. Wolf. And of course, the two needed to get married. So in 1981, Mr. and Mrs. Wolf were married in a mock wedding ceremony officiated by the Wake Forest Demon Deacon. Now, we won't be covering the Demon Deacon at any point during this segment because, right, this is animal mascots. We're not going to talk about him. But if you're not familiar with the Wake Forest Demon Deacon, I suggest you go look him up. It's a pretty fun mascot. And, of course, Deacon. So, hey, he officiated the wedding. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Wolf, they were said to be joined in Canis Matrimonium. In the early 80s, the mascot name was changed from Wolf, W-O-L-F, to Woof, W-U-F. Now, this happened when then-male mascot Scott Joseph debuted a new costume that had been made by his mother. Now, when his mom started to sew the name on the back of the jersey, Wolf, she realized she didn't have enough room for W-O-L-F, and she shortened it to W-U-F, which it has remained since. That's a fun story. I like that. Then in 2010, the school added a new live mascot to the mix. Yes, a Temascan dog named Tuffy became the new live mascot for football games. Now, the Temascan is a breed of dog that resembles a wolf-like Siberian Husky. Yes, now the breed is most likely a cross of a few breeds such as Alaskan Husky, Alaskan Malamute, Canadian Eskimo Dog, German Shepherd, and the Siberian Husky. The answer to today's trivia question, do alligators live in freshwater, saltwater, or both? It's freshwater. Yes, alligators actually cannot digest salt. Therefore, they're only going to live in fresh bodies of water, such as ponds or marshes, wetlands, and of course, the Florida swamp. Now, just a reminder, guys, it is April. So to all of you Floridians or new Floridians, transplants, or even just those vacationing here, April is when gators start their courting. Yes, courting season is usually about the month of April, and then into May is when mating season starts. Gators do tend to be a little more territorial, a little more aggressive during this season. So please, please exercise caution, especially at dawn and dusk when you're near any open body of water. Guys, the rule in Florida is if there's standing water and you can't see the bottom, there's most likely a gator in it. So stay away. It's the listener Q&A. The first question today comes from Tanya from Boulder, Colorado. Tanya says, my husband likes to give our dog food from the table. Of course, now our dog will beg anytime we have food. It's getting worse lately where he is barking at us. What can I do to get him to stop barking? Tanya, thank you for the question. You know, your husband's the bad guy. He created this mess. You know it. Look, You've got to get your husband to stop feeding your dog from the table. That's first and foremost, because the problem is you're just completely reinforcing it, or rather he is, you know what I mean. He is just reinforcing that behavior so strong that, yeah, it's to the point now that you have food in your hands and your dog is literally expecting it. And when he doesn't get it, he's barking at you because he's like, hey, this is not how that works. There's food. I'm supposed to get some, right? So it's progressing. It's snowballing. It's getting worse. So yeah, there's no other way to do this. Your husband has to stop feeding him from the table. Personally, I think your husband should stop feeding him dog or human food altogether. I mean, that's my personal preference. I mean, like I've told you, I on the podcast, I mentioned occasionally, sparingly, I'll give my dogs a little bit of people food, but we're not talking any part of my meal. I'm talking like a little chunk of bacon this big, right? Or a piece of fruit every now and then. Like that's what I'll sometimes give my dogs, but we're talking once in a blue moon. We're not talking even once a week once every 2 weeks. Like, it's so not often. And that's part of the reason my dogs don't beg for food, is because of that. All right. Yeah, look, it's, this is a tough thing, because your husband may not want to. And if he doesn't want to, then, you know, look, compromise is what I would tell you. He's allowed to give your dog food, but there's a couple variables that have to be added on. He is not allowed to give your dog food while you guys are eating. That's the first rule. No food while you're eating. He has to wait at least 45 minutes after you guys are done eating to give the dog food. That's the second rule. And the third rule is the dog is only allowed to have food in its food bowl, not coming from the hand, not coming from the kitchen counter, only it's his dog food bowl, okay? We want your dog to start making the association of food only comes from this bowl, and it doesn't come from when you guys are eating. That way we can get rid of the whole you guys are eating, hey, it's time for me to eat, is what he's thinking. We got to kill that association. So look, my first recommendation is your husband needs to stop feeding him altogether. If that's not going to work, then compromise. Again, first rule, okay, is that your husband has to stop feeding from the table or the kitchen counter altogether. Second rule is if he's going to feed him, he's got to wait at least 45 minutes before feeding him after he's eaten. After your husband's eaten, wait 45 minutes to give the dog anything. And the third one is the food has to come from the food bowl, nowhere else. It can't come from his hand, not the counter, nothing like that. Has to go in his food bowl if he's going to feed him. This should help, but I'm warning you, this is going to take some time. I'm already hearing it. You know, your dog's barking a lot already. It's going to take some time to kill this. If your husband stops giving him food altogether, this will go a lot faster. It's still going to go slow. Like, don't get me wrong, but you could be potentially looking at double the amount of time to fix this if he doesn't stop feeding him altogether. It's just the truth. You know, it's food. We're talking about food here. The dog's getting food, like the best reinforcement possible. He's not going to want to give that up. So you've got to reshape it. But it's going to take some time. So, all right. Good luck to you, Tanya. Let me know if you need anything else. Next question. This comes from Debbie from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Debbie says, I have a Cavapoo puppy who is 12 weeks old, and I have had her for 2 weeks. She's sweet as can be, but she keeps jumping up at me and scratching up my arms. I tell her no, and I try to guide her down, but she keeps coming right back at me almost like it's a game. How can I get her to stop? Debbie, thank you for the question. This is a great question. You know, this is kind of, we're going to make this very simplistic. You're guiding her down. So I'm guessing you're kind of pushing her down very nicely and lightly and saying, no, no. I'm guessing it sounds something like that. You have to tell her no, sharply, make it stern. And more importantly than that, you can't be guiding her down nicely, because in her brain, she's viewing that as affectionate. If you're just nicely guiding her down, no is going to start meaning, oh, affection. You see what I'm saying? So unfortunately, you're reinforcing the behavior. I know this because you're telling me she keeps coming right back at, after you push her down, she comes right back at you. The behavior's increasing. Therefore, you're reinforcing it. Okay. So your pushing her down is most likely being interpreted as affectionate reinforcement, right? A type of affection to reinforce that behavior. So you have to give her a little poke. Or use a collar. You know, if she has a collar on, you know, 12 weeks old, you could have a regular collar on, or even maybe a martingale at this point, kind of depends. And you know, have to kind of see the size and everything of where she's at with her growth. But 12 weeks is about the time I might be introducing a martingale to a Cavapoo. Really depends. But even a regular nylon collar, you can take the collar and just make a little correction and tell her no. Remember, this has to be sharp, not yelling, not screaming, but it can't be no. It's got to be a sharp no, so she understands you mean business. Okay. Then we have to pair a punishment. Oh, David, you said it. Yes, I did. I said it. Guys, punishment. Remember, let's remember, Debbie, punishment doesn't have to be horrible. Punishment is anything an animal works to avoid. Look, very simply put, you have to give her a reason to stop jumping on you. Right? Like that's, I've got to give her a reason. Otherwise, she'll just keep doing it. So the reason needs to be some form of punishment. Small collar correction or a little poke. You can do it kind of in the chest area, just to the side of the neck, not quite on the shoulder, sort of in between, but not on the neck, not on the throat. That's not where you want to do the poke corrections. It's just to the side. That's where mama dog comes in and gives them a natural little nip. So we're mimicking that natural correction mom's going to give them to tell them to stop. Little poke and tell her no. She's going to try to jump at you again. Little poke, you tell her no. She's going to try to jump at you again. Little poke, you tell her no. She might back off, do the little puppy pounce at you, bark at you, get frustrated. Just ignore that crap. Seriously, ignore it. She tries to jump on you again. Poke, tell her no. She will give up and finally sit down and relax. When she does that, you tell her good girl and you give her a treat. We're looking to reward calm, relaxing behavior, not overexcited jumping behavior. So very simplistic, Debbie. We need to punish and decrease the overexcited jumping using a poke correction or a collar correction and pairing the word no with it. We'll ignore any kind of happy, crazy, pouncy stuff because I only want to address if she's jumping at me or being calm. That's it. Okay, I want to ignore all the other in-between stuff. Once she finally gives in and relaxes, we're going to reward it with a treat. She might try to jump at you again. No problem. Poke correction. No. She backs off. She relaxes. Treat. Before you know it, your dog is going to start understanding, oh, every time I jump at Debbie, I get something I don't like. But every time I back off and relax, I get a treat. Well, forget jumping on her. I'm just going to sit here and get a treat all day. That's how you teach your dog to stop jumping. Right there. Okay. So, Debbie, let me know how that goes. Good luck working on it. Also, side note, forgot to mention, you can always leash her up. You know, there's no harm in letting her have that leash dragging around. Now, do be careful. Watch her chewing the leash, that kind of stuff. But you can leash her up, and that way you can use the leash to make a collar correction as opposed to having to go in for the poke, right? So food for thought on that. Let me know how it goes, and good luck. That'll wrap up the podcast today. Thank you so much for listening in. If you haven't clicked that subscribe or that follow button, do so right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday and you're going to want to check them out. You can follow me on Instagram at SpeakADogCast. Join me there every Tuesday for Training Tip Tuesday. Brand new dog training tips coming at you every week. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at SpeakADogCast. Become a patron of the show today at patreon.com/SpeakADogCast. If you love what you're hearing, if you love the show, do me a favor, scroll down, give me that 5-star rating or leave me a review. I would really appreciate it. Guys, I want to thank my patrons, my pup supporter Regula Wright, and my dog friend Maureen Crosby. Have a wonderful week, and don't forget to get out there and walk your dog.